chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, one of the most familiar biblical accounts. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose ye a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Notice verse 16. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, presented himself for 40 days. In verse 22 through 24, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And then in verses 45 through 50, we see David defeating Goliath. For time's sake, we'll not read those words, but in verse 50 it says, So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Now this, of course, is the account of David and Goliath, how that Goliath comes against Israel, and how David, who was a shepherd at the time, slew and conquered him. It's a story that we've all known from childhood, but it's more than a children's Bible story. It's more than a chorus that we sing. What we read here is about how you and I serve a God who is greater than all. A God who can take care of situations that appear to be hopeless. It is a picture of real life for God's people. And again, it's more than a children's Bible story. It's more than a chorus. It's instruction. It's instruction for God's people. It tells us how that we can live a victorious life. It's more than David defeating Goliath. Again, it's lessons how you and I can live. The giants that appear in our lives are many, are of great variety. And what we have here is an example of how giants can be overcome. We learn some principles in this account about facing impossible and discouraging obstacles that come up against that all of God's people face many times. Our subject this morning is your Goliath moment. Your Goliath moment. We all have Goliath times. We all have them. No one is exempt. Let's look first of all at the anatomy of a giant. What constitutes a giant? The chapter opens in verses 1 through 3. We see the armies of the Philistines and the armies of Israel. They're each in a mountain. In between that mountain is the valley of Elah. And the armies of the Philistines and the armies of Israel are ready for war. Beginning in verse 4, we are introduced to a Philistine giant. The truth is, if you go back to when Israel entered the land of Canaan, they were living in a land of giants. They were everywhere. And so do we. So there are the Israelites. There are the Philistines. There's this valley between them. Each have a battle line. The battle would determine who is going to serve who. That's still true today. Still true today. We see this giant steps forth into the valley. He's identified in verse 4 as a champion. That's his reputation. He's a champion. What that means is he's a victor. He's a conqueror. And he steps forth. He steps forth to win. He steps forth to conquer. That's what giants do. His name is Goliath of Gath. Goliath of Gath. I mean, those very words have an intimidating sound to it. Goliath of Gath. And there he stands. We see him there. His height is 6 cubits and a span. That means he was between 9.5 and 10 feet tall. Verse 5, he has a helmet of brass upon his head and he's armed with a coat of mail. That means that's describing his breastplate. And the weight of the coat or the weight of the breastplate was 5,000 shekels of brass. So his breastplate alone weighed approximately 125 pounds. His breastplate probably weighed more than David. We see, in addition to this, in verse 6, he had greaves or armor for his legs, and they were of brass. Now that would have gone from his thigh to his heels. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels, or about 30 pounds, and it was iron. There he stands. Goliath of Gath. His armor probably exceeded 200 pounds in weight. He's 9.5 to 10 feet tall. He's a 9.5, 10-foot giant warrior, a champion. He's massive. He's an enormous and monstrous figure. And you see him there, and he's menacing. He's intimidating. He's a very frightening sight. This was no ordinary warrior, Goliath of Gath. There he stands, 9.5 to 10 feet tall, with over 200 pounds of armor. And then we read in verse 7 that in addition to his menacing presence, there was one bearing a shield that went before him. And in verse 8, he, Goliath of Gath, stood and cried with a booming voice unto the armies of Israel. And he's taunting them. He's challenging them. We read in verse 16 that he did this morning and evening. And he did it for 40 days. Twice a day for 40 days. That's 80 times this giant stood forth and with booming voice challenged the Israelites. 80 times he had done this. The effect that this had upon them is in verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed. They were horrified. They became very unsettled. They were greatly disturbed. They were alarmed. They were distressed. And it says they were greatly or immensely afraid. That is, they were terrified, scared to death. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore or painfully afraid. Now consider who it was that fled, some of those who fled from this giant. There was Saul. 1 Samuel 9, verse 2, Saul from his shoulders and upward was higher than any of the people. That is, of Israel. But when he saw Goliath, he fled. There was Jonathan, who on a former occasion, assisted only by his armor bearer, slew 20 Philistines. He also fled. There was Abner, the captain of the host. He's a valiant man. But these and all the men of Israel, when they saw this giant, when they heard this giant, were horrified and they began to cower at the sight of Goliath. There he stands, 9.5 to 10 feet tall, over 200 pounds of armor. This was a very perilous time for Israel. It was a time when their very nation was being threatened. Their very life was being threatened. Their lifestyle was being threatened. Goliath of Gath. He's a symbol of the giants that face God's people today. We too live in a land of giants. The giants in our life are much like Goliath. And it helps us to identify when we have a giant in our life. Goliath loomed larger than life. And to these Israelites, Goliath was bigger than anything. And I believe he got bigger each day in their eyes. When something is larger than life, you have a giant in your life. Goliath was intimidating. Verse 11, when all Israel heard, that is, the taunts of Goliath, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And again in verse 24, and they saw the man fled from him and were sore afraid. He was a constant, relentless pressure, harassment, and tyrannizing force. And when this is the case, you have a giant in your life. Goliath would not go away. Every morning, there he was. Every evening, there he was. Presented himself for 40 days. And I'm sure that every morning the Israelites hoped that Goliath would not be there. But the morning came, and there he was. Perhaps he'd go away for a while, and they hoped he wouldn't return. But in the evening, there he was, with his menacing presence and booming voice. Goliath made his presence known every day. He presented himself, set forth himself for 40 days, and he got more and more bold every day. And his provocation grew by the day. Day by day, he became bigger in their eyes. They were being controlled by his presence. They were being controlled more and more each day by his presence. They began and ended their days with Goliath. Goliath consumed their days. Goliath was defining their life. When this is the case, you have a giant in your life. Goliath was a paralyzing force. Goliath's presence disabled Israel from functioning normally. When that's the case, you have a giant in your life. Goliath would move forward, and Israel would move backward. When it's moving forward and you're going backward, you have a giant in your life. Goliath was prevailing day and night. If it's prevailing over you incessantly, you have a giant in your life. Goliath stood in the way. And when it stands in the way between you and your enjoyment of God, you have a giant in your life. So look at Goliath. There he stands before Israel. 9.5 to 10 feet tall. Over 200 pounds of armor. A massive, monstrous figure. He appears to be insurmountable. And again, we live in the land of giants. These giants can come in many forms. It can be a problem. It can be a trouble. It can be a burden. It can be a worry. It can be an obstacle. It can be an irritant. It can be a threat. It can be a person or people. It can be an issue. It can be a hurt. It can be a habit. It can be a failure. It can be a distraction. It can be a sin. On and on we could go. They can take on the form of problems and concerns with our children. Problems and concerns with parents. Problems and concerns with our loved ones. With our health, with our finances, or with the health and finances of others. Can come in the forms of relationships. They can take on the form of fear, loneliness, doubt, anger, bitterness. Some task that you might be called upon to do. Goliath was a physical giant. Not all giants are physical. There are psychological giants. Nonetheless, a giant. There are emotional giants. Nonetheless, a giant. So that helps us to identify the giants. Next, consider our attitude and our perception concerning the giants. In our text, there's a contrast between the perception of Israel and the perception of David. Israel saw Goliath differently than David saw Goliath. They're both looking at the same giant, but they see different things. Their perception was different. They're both looking at the same giant, and they have a different attitude toward the giant. And they have a different reaction to the giant. The Israelites saw a 9.5 to 10 foot tall figure with over 200 pounds of armor. They saw him as very menacing, monstrous, insurmountable. They saw him as an impossibility. They saw him as an imminent threat to themselves. David, he also viewed Goliath as an obstacle and a stumbling block. But he viewed Goliath as an obstacle and stumbling block to the will of God. And he saw a giant that could be defeated. Israel saw a giant that could not be defeated. When David heard the challenge and blasphemies of Goliath, he viewed Goliath as standing in the way of God's business. That's how we need to view giants. They're not just standing in your way. They're standing in the way of God's business. When David heard the challenge and blasphemies, he said in verse 6, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy, that he should disregard, that he should infringe upon the armies of the living God?" Notice David draws a comparison between the uncircumcised Philistine and the living God. He viewed him in light of the living God. Makes a big difference. He's saying, it is absolutely foolish, it is absurd that this man, I don't care how big he is, it's absolutely absurd that he should be allowed to hinder the work of the Lord. That's what David is saying. He viewed Goliath as someone who must be defeated. The Israelites viewed him as someone who could not be defeated. David viewed him as somebody who must be defeated. And that's true of all the giants in our life. It's not that they can't be defeated. We have to view them as it must be defeated. It has to be. He viewed him as someone who must not be permitted to work in their lives. And it is imperative that we view the giants as David viewed Goliath. We must not allow Satan, the world, the problems, the difficulties, the obstacles to hinder, to stand in the way, to control our lives, and to have victory over us. So I ask you today, what's in your valley? For the Israelites, it was Goliath of Gath. What's in your valley? What is it that keeps you from living the life that God has called you to live? Our view must be that these giants, they have to be defeated. They have to be defeated. They cannot be allowed to paralyze and to control us. David saw Goliath as a Philistine. But he mentioned several times, verse 26, verse 36, verse 37, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. So David looks at this massive man, his intimidating presence, and he hears the bold challenges of Goliath. And David says he's uncircumcised. What does that mean? Well, circumcision was a sign that you belonged to God in covenant. So he looked at this giant through spiritual eyes. And he says, what I see is I see somebody that doesn't belong to God. He saw him as somebody that did not have God's help. So this giant's at a disadvantage in David's eyes. And my question to you and I about the giants in our lives is, have we developed a spiritual perspective? Or are we intimidated by the size of the giant? The giant was just as big either way. Israel was horrified at the presence of Goliath. And they no doubt would reason among themselves, trying to figure out how are we going to appease Goliath. The giants in your life need not be appeased, they need to be defeated. David, on the other hand, he did not view the situation as him and Goliath. Israel viewed it as us and Goliath. That's not how David viewed it. David saw God as part of the equation. Whatever giant is in your life, you must see God as part of the equation. David's reaction was, this giant is against God, and he has to go. That was David's reaction. Israel's reaction was, they fled, and they were sore afraid. David said, this giant is an enemy of God. He's not doing the work of God. He has to go. Whatever your Goliath, your relationship with God has much to do with how you perceive your giant. Has much to do with your attitude and your reaction towards your giant. That brings us to our third point. How do we approach the giant? By the time David arrived on the scene, Goliath had already appeared 80 times. He'd already appeared twice a day for 40 days. I believe David arrived on day 41. David arrives on day 41. Notice verse 16 again. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. Verse 23. And as he talked with them on the 41st day, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, just as he had done the previous days, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. David, for the first time, sees and hears the taunts of Goliath. He not only saw and heard Goliath, he also saw and heard the reaction of the army of Israel. They fled. And they were sore afraid. And they said in verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? David saw this with his own eyes, heard it with his own ears. And David began to approach the thought of defeating Goliath. Before he could defeat Goliath, he had to overcome the naysayers. In verse 26, David inquires as to what would be done for the man who defeated Goliath. In verse 27, he receives answer. In verse 28, he is rebuked by his eldest brother. And in verse 29, he says to his oldest brother, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And he then turned to the other men of Israel. And it says he spake after the same manner. So he's asking the men of Israel in the form of a plea. Is there not a cause? Do you not have a reason? Is there not a reason for somebody to step into this valley and confront this giant? Is there not a need? Can you not see a need for somebody to step into this valley and confront Goliath and defeat Goliath? Do you not see that there is a purpose in defeating Goliath? And in verse 30, the men of Israel repeated the rebuke of David's oldest brother. But David saw a cause by this time. And he would not be discouraged, because the cause was bigger than the giant. In verse 31, Saul is informed as to what's going on with David and the men. And he calls for David. And in verse 32, David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. He's saying, Saul, you don't have to be paralyzed any longer. You don't have to be held back and confined by this Philistine any longer. God's business is too great. I will go and fight this Philistine. So he's now resolved. This giant's got to go. We got to get to that point. With all of our giants, this giant has got to go. And then, in verse 33, notice the discouraging words of Saul. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine. And he gave him reasons. You're but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. But David would not be discouraged, because in David's mind, the cause is bigger than the giant. Whatever giant is in your life, There's a cause that's bigger. And whatever giant is in your life, there's God that's bigger. I don't care how big the giant is. Doesn't matter. That's not the issue. David had faith in God. He answered Saul's discouraging words in verses 34 through 37. He recalls how that he had slain a bear and a lion and so on, and how it was God that gave him those victories. So David sees Goliath, and what he sees is an opportunity for God to work. He says, that lion and bear, God defeated them. He used me to do it. This giant's no different. This giant's just an opportunity for God to manifest His greatness. That's true of every giant in our life. So David didn't see something insurmountable. He saw an opportunity for God to work. He said in verse 37, the Lord, He will. The Lord, He will. It's not just the Lord, He can. He can. But he says, the Lord, He will. Then Saul gave David his own armor. Verse 38 and 39. David tries to walk in that armor and he can't even walk in the armor. It's too big. It's cumbersome. David knew that victory would not come through this armor. We need to know where our victory comes from. We need to know where it doesn't come from. And he says to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, or I have not tested them. What he's saying is, Saul, I can't use these. This is not what I'm accustomed to using. Be careful what you become accustomed to doing. It had been proven in his life that God was able. That's what he was accustomed to. What he's accustomed to was depending upon the strength of the Lord. Be careful what you become accustomed to. It can define your life. So there's Goliath, 9.5 to 10 feet tall. Very menacing sight. Taunting the armies of Israel. David steps into that valley, fully trusting God. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He says, that doesn't mean a thing to me. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. There's his confidence. He says, I will face you, but I do so not in my own strength, but in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. And then he recognizes Goliath as who he is, whom thou hast defied. This day will God deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword, and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." So David steps into that valley, and basically what he's saying is, "God, it's all yours. It's all yours." That needs to be how we approach giants. God, it's all yours. It's all yours. So David saw God. He saw Goliath in relation to God. And when he saw Goliath in relation to God, Goliath wasn't so big after all. That still works. Seeing God changes the size of the giant in our eyes and in our mind. We have an ability to make an ant appear like a giant. We have that ability. It's not a good ability. We can make small things giant things. But when we see God, giants become smaller in our eyes. God is larger than any giant in your life. God is more remarkable. He's more magnificent. He's superior to any giant in our lives. We've all faced giants. We still do. And sometimes we act like Israel. And sometimes we act like David. And what has the better results? What has brought the better results? It's when we step forth in faith, knowing that God is greater than any problem, than any trial, than any difficulty, than any need, any infirmity, or any condition. David did not trust in his own strength. He did not trust in his own ability. He did not even trust in his own planning. He did not trust in Saul. He did not trust in Saul's armor. He went forth trusting God. You say, "Well, I've done that, and the giant's still there. Do it again." "Well, I've done that. I've done it over and over and over." Keep doing it over and over and over. Nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. Your giant may be taunting you every morning and every evening. What that means is you begin your day with the giant, you end your day with the giant. I would rather begin my day with God and end my day with God. I don't always do that. But my day and evening's much better when I do. Is there not a cause for you and I to say, "You know what, I'm not going to allow this giant to defeat me. He may show up every morning and every evening, but he's not going to defeat me. By God's help, he's not going to defeat me. I'm not going to allow him to define my life." God is to define our lives, not the giants. We read in verse 50, "So David prevailed over the giant, over the Philistine." God moved in a supernatural way, and a giant was toppled. That's how giants are toppled. God moving in a supernatural way. David came out on top because of God. Every one of us have had victories over giants. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because we're here. We've faced many giants. There's more coming. In the name of God, claim the victory. We live in the land of giants, but they're not meant to define our lives. They're there so that we can prevail over them, but only through God's strength. Verse 53, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. Quite a change from the early part of the chapter. They're now chasing the giant. The giant's not chasing them. What is it today? Do we chase the giant? Or does the giant chase us? By God's strength, we can chase the giants. We can chase the enemy. By God's strength, giants can be slain. We see a wonderful example. There's so much more that can be brought out from these verses, and we'll preach upon them again this evening, Lord willing. Whatever the Goliath in your life, it can be anything. Don't feed it. How foolish. But we do that. We feed the giant. We enable him to get larger. Don't feed the giant. You go to the zoo, you see the signs, don't feed the animals. That'd be a good sign to put on your desk. Don't feed the giant. Don't feed the giant. That would be foolish. It's foolish to feed your enemy. It's foolish to make him stronger. But come to the realization, this giant's got to go. But I can't defeat him, but God can. So I'm going to trust him. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse song.